Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, hey. And today we welcome back Stephanie.
Hey there.
Nene.
It's Nene.
She has returned.
And she's full of hate.
Yes. Thanks to Carl and his suggestions.
She's raging, people. You ain't ready. She is raging today.
Today we're going to discuss Iron Sky. And also Mercury Men. I can't say Mercury. Okay.
You did very well. Yes.
You like that? I don't know. It's something with the Q. And there is no Q in it. There's a C and a U.
What's happening, Kat?
To watch.
What's going
also,
on?
So we're going to talk about Mercury Men. I'm going to edit that in or something.
That was seamless, girl. Men. Seamless. No one will ever know that there was a cut there.
Mercury Men.
It's causing you to have a seizure. I think that's a bad sign when a show causes you to have a seizure.
Okay, so at the suggestion of a Carl, i.e. this is his fault, we watched Iron Sky. Now, the first time I heard about Iron Sky, I heard that it was Nazis in space on the dark side of the moon. How exciting is that?
I think it's thrilling. Please tell me more.
So, up to sometime last year, and I said I would watch it, and he ensured that I did. He even secured me a copy, and I watched it, and I loved it. Let me tell you why. Iron Sky. When I first heard of this film, I thought it was going to be like the Tom Cruise movie Valkyrie. So I thought it was going to be like some sort of serious historical account of an alternate universe of how it was absolutely possible that Nazis could have done this. I'm not sure why I thought that. But upon viewing the film, when I guess the ladies, all of her clothes came off when they were like almost coming out of an airlock, almost got killed by an airlock accident. I knew this film was not going to be the serious endeavor that I thought.
What are you talking about? I found that scene riveting and completely believable.
Okay. Yeah. do you know any history about this film, Carl? Or what made you seek it out? Because you like stuck with it. You didn't forget about it. You made sure we talked about it. You kept mentioning it. Why?
Yeah, okay, look. You know, I like independent films. I like the sort of like garage band projects and people trying to put together halfway decent science fiction on shoestring budgets. So I'm always looking around to see what type of projects are out there, what's going on in the world. Let me see something new, something different. And I saw these guys. I don't know how long it took them. I think they worked on Iron Sky about 4 years because it just kept almost coming out. It kept almost coming out. So I kept waiting. But when I saw the previews, the effects and the concept and everything, I said, I want to give these guys a shot. Oh, now, it's like, I think it's Germans, Australians, Finnish folk all got together. So this is just this totally independent project where these people got together and created this. So, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it had a somewhat limited budget, but I said, hey, let me give it a shot. Let me see what these people are doing. The premise sounded so crazy that I had to see what was happening. So that's why I was interested.
Okay, so Stephanie, when...
hate people, get ready!
When... I suggested to you that Carl suggested to me the movie Iron Sky, and I probably told you it was about Nazis in space on the dark side of the moon. What did you think of it initially? And after the movie, were you pumped up at all? Did it get the blood pumping?
I gotta work on my poker face. All right. Okay. So it started off so innocently. You told me about this. I love campy. I love this kind of stuff. Actually, what I thought was, wow, this could have been History of the World Part Two. Like they should, this could be like Mel Brooks. This has Mel Brooks all over it. This will be awesome and awkward and hilarious and a kind of off-color comedy, and it's gonna be funny. Oh, was I wrong? It was like, so you know how you can go to Eastern Europe and everybody is still in like acid wash jeans and they're all like super tight and completely out of fashion and they're about like 30 years behind fashion wise. So this comedy felt like that. It felt like they were trying really hard to be cool, but missing the mark by about 30 years. I don't know. That's my impression of this movie. I did laugh at points in this movie. I thought it was funny at points. I only knew a couple of players from this movie, like, so I did know the dominatrix queen lady in this movie. The one who like has the ingenious idea to use Nazi propaganda
As an
toward
ad campaign, a
as an
presidential
ad
campaign.
campaign, yeah, as a presidential campaign. That woman, she's from this trashy Australian soap opera called Satisfaction, and I watched it. So the only person I knew is her, and I knew she was gonna be naked or almost naked in this movie, and I wasn't let down. That's the only thing. I'm sorry, that was rambling. Please feel free to cut out what I said, but like literally, it
I
was just,
firmly believe in keeping nakedness in, so we're gonna roll with that. We're
I
going with
was
that.
let down, man. I saw boobies, but it wasn't didn't do anything for me. It was like, I'm sorry, man. But all I will say, that one guy, what's his name? Who's
The star, Kirby?
The guy who played Klaus,
Oh, yes,
like
Klaus.
Gertz Otto, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, he looked sexy when she like fritzed him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just
Okay,
like you're not supposed to like the Nazi of the movie, right?
I'm totally cutting all over the place. So to make a long story short, this movie was so sad. That's
Oh, okay. So Carl and I got to go into some of the details of why we liked it. I like this one because it reminded me of like Galaxy Quest. And I thought Galaxy Quest was really goofy, just kind of funny, not really serious, and just it was funny in places, and it just was ridiculous. Like for instance, the US goes to the moon for Sarah Palin is president,
Awesome.
right?
Somebody like Sarah Palin is president.
Yeah, I think when they were making this, Sarah Palin had just, it was like she was almost going to be president or something like that. She's going to be vice president and she was popular. So when they made this, that was in vogue. So Sarah Palin was president. She was like on her, what was it, like a exercise bike the whole movie in like biker shorts or something.
No, she was in a wind suit, like Florida mall walkers wear. You know what I'm talking about? She's in a wind suit and sneakers and the like signature glasses.
Well, she's got to be relaxed when she's in the White House. You know,
And
she's always on the go.
she
She's
was
multitasking.
Southern and not.
That was the first hint that I was probably gonna want to kill myself by the end of the movie. Like a Sarah Palin lady. Okay, go on.
Sarah Palin is president, and they sent two guys to the moon plus a black model.
That totally believable. Again, I had no problem with
And
that concept.
the campaign for it was Black to the Moon, and
Oh.
that was just funny. I was just, I was like, wow, they're going to be on the nose with race and everything in this. So I just could not get offended. So this guy reminded me, when you say 30 years out of date, Stephanie, his humor is sort of like that, because he was like, come on, my man, what's up, my
boy? I know, right?
And I was just like, oh.
This movie, oh, when he became albinized, he looked like the Wayans brothers from White Girls. It was nightmare flashbacks of that movie.
Okay. Albinized, you say. That was nice. I like that. I like that. That was very
funny. It had that in the movie. They gave him a shot of albinizer. Literally. Oh, my freaking God.
Albinizer. So
I will say, Kat, when the thing first opened up and, like, they landed on the moon and they were like, oh, really? We have to let these banners down. And they put the banners down. I thought, oh, that's really funny. And then you could tell the guy was black, like, you could, because of his sense of humor and, like, just what he was saying, it was hilarious. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is so 30 years out of date, black. Like,
hey, you jive turkeys. Look, just let me jump in, all right? Regarding the degree of blackness expressed by, here's the thing, and I've seen this time and time again, and Steph, I'm giving you much kudos for nailing it on the head. See, the thing is, let's just say the black experience in Europe is a little bit different than the, you know, the black experience here in America, all right? And so, you know, on the one hand, you're absolutely correct that, you know, time-wise, generally, Europe culture-wise, has this style thing where they're about 10 years behind us, maybe 15 years in what, you know, fashion and stuff. So you got to sort of, you know, embrace that and be ready for that. But particularly when it comes to issues of race, I'm always very interested to see the European opinion of these things. And it really seemed like they were trying to do the American version of black, but it was like, you know, 1970s black exploitation. Yeah. I mean, with a European twist, which really
but
was messing with me.
It felt like just, they were doing it on purpose. Like, we want that guy. It felt like that they said, I mean, they nailed Sarah Palin, so they had to have wanted that guy to be that out of date, like, yeah, that.
But see, but like that. See, that's the problem, though, because I'm not sure that they realized just how out of date this stuff was. Because I think they were trying. Like, okay, there are a couple other films,
but the guy had it down. I mean, he's a black guy. Look, how old is he?
He looked like he was in late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, so he felt like he was like a kid around that time, and he grew up with like Welcome Back, Carter, or whatever. And he, you know,
this is 2018. Set in 2018.
I'm just saying that if it feels like they wanted that type of guy, and I just kind of appreciate it because he nailed that guy. Right?
Yeah, I'll say this. Once that whole shtick started happening, I thought, oh, Blazing Saddles, maybe. They're going for Blazing Saddles. But I'm sorry, Blazing Saddles did it better. Like, you know, like poking fun at the whole thing and bringing up hard topics.
He did a great job of addressing or pointing out some very delicate issues. Mm-hmm. Execution was somewhat lacking when it came to the, you know, the details of that kind of stuff. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I just yeah. But you're right. But okay, so here's the thing: there are a couple of other movies where you see, I guess, like the black experience from Europe, and every time you know, when we're here in the States, you know, African Americans watching this, it always feels a little odd, because something is just, here's another movie that you probably haven't seen, but you know, if you want to see an example of this, Attack the Block. Did you guys see Attack the Block?
No.
Attack the Block is the name of the movie. I believe
I know Attack of the Block is, I thought that was a TV show. Okay, I'm off topic. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Attack the Block.
What did you say? I can't even understand what you're saying. Attack a bot? Is this science fiction?
Attack the block, like right around.
Oh, attack the block. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
Where the an alien craft crashes in quote the hood, but keep in mind, this is the hood in England. And you know, the local police try to investigate what's going on, and pretty much they're taken out. So it's left to this street gang to defend the block and save the planet from an onslaught of aliens. You know, so naturally, you know, they're thugged out. I mean, these are some straight gangster hoods up in England, right? And they got their packing their heat and all that. But when you're watching it, there are many things that culturally don't quite sync up with the American version of it. And it's the strike where if they had just, I don't know if they needed a consultant or able to make it cooler, you know, if it just been, then the movie I think would have done a lot better than it did, but it did not do so well. And I think it's because of that cultural jarring that's going on.
You remember the first Total Recall? Where there was that black guy, he was the cab driver. He was over the top, old school black, just like the guy in this movie. So I didn't mind.
Okay, but all right. Well, anyway, like that was only 20 years, 70s though. This is definitely a bit later than that.
It's just like watching a copy of a copy. Like, so it was watered down in American movies, and then it got even more watered down over in Europe. I don't know. It was weird. It was awkward. It was like watching White Girls or White Chicks or whatever that movie was.
You watched that?
Yeah, I did. I'm still going to therapy about it. It was just that bad.
So when he got albinized, when we say albinized, what they did was turn this guy into an Aryan. They like took his blackness off and like gave him blonde hair and blue eyes. This reminded me of that. I saw this repeat or something with Eddie Murphy on the Saturday Night Live where he turned himself white. And I just thought that was just the funniest thing that I've ever seen. So it reminded me of that and it made me laugh.
Circa 1982 comedy. If you're going to pull that, that is from 1982.
I know, right? I just feel like they got all their instruction from 20, 30 years ago.
It was a little behind.
It was okay. I think he was funny. I don't know. I think
I generally think they did it on purpose. Like, it wasn't an accident, which is nice. I mean, like, it would probably be even worse if it was an accident. Like, what? This isn't what black people do? And like,
so, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can feel that they did it on purpose. So,
yes, I'm going to go with that and embrace the camp of what was going on with that.
Because that German women don't act like Renata Rick, whatever her name is. And she was just like a sex pot Jessica Rabbit earthologist. But I enjoyed her so much because she was so ditzy.
Oh my God, I wanted to kill myself every second she was on screen.
Okay. Admittedly, it's not a perfect film. Can we disagree on that? Yeah, I was going to put that.
However, fine. I think Iron Sky was fine.
Let me tell you what I liked about it. All right? Back in the up step, you know, I agree with you, the jive turkey humor from 1970.
He coined a term.
The black experience coming from Finland, also a little out of might not be quite.
The black experience in Canada is not too up to date either. So,
but at least you know they're only 15 years behind. So we'll but okay. But if you look at other elements of the film, first of all, special effects rocking in this film.
It looked great.
Pretty.
I agree. That was fun.
I mean, that was so much fun. The stuff that they were, you know, the underlying concept of what Iron Sky is supposed to be about. It was so preposterous, but it is actually interesting. You know, I'm always saying, give me something new. Moon Nazis, that's new. All right, I'll take it. And the way that the story you know, kind of rolls out. The pacing is good in this film. It's not boring. It's strange, you know, and quirky and kind of freaky in some spots, but it sure ain't boring. You know, you never know what's going to come next when you're watching this film.
No, you just never know how more offended you're going to be when this film continues. Like, from one scene to the next, the offense level.
Yeah, that's just like, okay, they're going to go balls to the wall. And
I'd be more offended if it was specifically targeted at one particular group, but they spread this around. I mean, insanity just went, it hit everybody. And the other thing is, all right, so... because this is a European production, you got to appreciate the fact they take some digs on the good old U.S. It's clear, you know, it's clear that they are poking fun at the U.S. and sort of our, you know, our perspective on things and how we're trying to run the country, I mean, run the planet and all that kind of, they tease us about that. But you know what? We're U.S., we're big. We can handle that kind of stuff. And after all, we had the best rocket in the whole program, so we'll let it slide. No. That on every edge, they, you know, they're quote pushing the limits, you know, because they really do walk a bunch of fine lines and stuff when they're.
I love at the end crawl when somebody yelled "You lie" and threw a shoe, and then they in the boardroom. Oh yep. My god, that was hilarious.
The UN,
the UN thing.
Right, I mean, you know, but, and there, so there's so many of these moments where, you know, you look at it a whole, you're going, what the heck is going on with this film? You break it out and you look at the pieces and you see that I think it's a really, really good try. It's enjoyable and it's just so nutty. It is so nutty. So yeah, they walk a razor thin line on a lot of stuff. And you're like, I feel like I should be offended by that right there. But it's so crazy and it's so targeted that you just like, let it go. Just let it.
Nope. This movie is not your crazy zany fun friend. This is your crazy bipolar friend that you might have to commit and take away sharp objects from. Like, this friend is like high and has fun elements. Like, I love that the iPhone has more computing power than their entire warship, you know, could possibly have. And I love that. What? No, sorry.
That's hilarious. I love that. They got that hand crank steam computer. And yeah. Like, here's the computer. That's not a computer.
Yeah, I found that hilarious. There were points that were actually very hilarious. But then there were these other points where it's like they've come down from their manic high and now they want to kill everybody's joy. And that happens, and they left it on that note, too. Everybody's joy was completely sapped. It was so sad. I left that film.
Oh my god, you must have saw this and it's such a bad mood because I was rolling on this film. I didn't know what to expect and they just kept getting weirder and stranger and then I was confused because the Nazi was sexy and I didn't understand why. And then there the black man was weird and then you had the weird assistant to the president who looked like a hooker with leather on and I'm like, how is this the assistant to the president, the speech writer? They look like they're working at a record label. I don't understand that. Then she gets on a warship. She's a speech writer. She gets on a warship in a leather cat suit with feathers out the collar. And it's just ridiculous. It's crazy all over the place.
1980s. That was awesome when she took that. I said, hey, that is a fashion designer right there.
Oh my God,
no!
She looked like original Diana from V. No! She did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 3 years behind or whatever. Yeah, 35.
Look, they're bringing the Nazis from the 40s back. So, you know, they're going to cover all eras in between, all eras.
I mean, to me, it felt like they were, like, doing Sky Captain producers mashup in space. Yep.
It was crazy.
I think I would have been happier if Mel Brooks had done this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that that's an acquired taste as well, but...
But, oh, man, there are pieces of, like, first of all, that was the coolest weapon. I mean, look, forget Transformers, whatever. When those Nazis let loose on that moon beam that they were, like, they needed to clear the side of the moon. And it just levels that crevasse all, you know, where it's, like, permanently eclipsed. Now, That was a nice beam. That was cool.
Was that the beam from the God of Dameron?
Oh, you know how to say that? That's nice. I was just going to say
the God of Dameron. Because the shit was called, you know, it was like goddamn in German, but they...
Like, hot damn! Yeah,
also, you know, I like clockwork and steampunk tech and stuff to see how they were able to push the limits of, you know, that old iron tech rivets kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff was pretty. Their machines were really, really pretty in this movie. So, I mean, I was impressed.
Yeah,
even enjoy the moon base building in the shape of a swastika. Like, how obsessive can you be? Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
There you go. Awesome.
Why?
They can have like a space station, like a full on space station like that, and that technology, but not come up with a computer that rivals.
Oh, you think it's hard, Nene? You're thinking hard.
Need advanced computers on the moon? They got it. They got everything.
Heil!
I did like the airships or whatever that were coming down. The space airships coming down.
Awesome, man. The ships were great in this film. I mean, all the Zeppelins that came down. Oh, the space Zeppelins were beautiful. Beautiful.
That was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. The USS George Bush was great.
Oh, that.
I like that the UN, they had all lied about having nuclear weapons.
And armed ships. Armed ships.
Yeah.
North Korea tried to take credit for the whole thing, and everybody laughed.
Nobody believed him.
That was funny.
Yeah, there were elements, but all in all, man, I did. I needed some.
See, look. The thing is, we know that you were offended by the Sarah Palin thing, and it's all right if you want to embrace it.
Oh my God! No,
fan, it's okay if you're
not a fan of Sarah Palin. Please,
not a fan for this
movie. That from the record. No, I'm sorry. But can we talk about the end where like everybody gets mad at each other and starts blowing shit up? Like everything on the earth was blown up by nuclear weapons and that's how they ended it? I just wanted to kill myself. My wrist.
Classic European sci-fi ending. Talked about this before, where you know they're not afraid to end it on a downer and just to, you know, to be gently pulling away.
Wait a second, you were perfectly okay with everybody dying at the end of Apollo 18, but this is too much.
This zany comedy, like, come on, let's be zany. Everybody dies.
It means that all of the people on the moon now have to work together to regenerate the population of Earth.
Carl, you're so positive.
I am.
Yeah.
You were killed right after they kissed. You know that happened.
No, of course not. There was like a bubble of air or something. They're fine.
I wonder if everybody's going to feel like Stephanie and like people are going to protest this movie and call it anti-Semitic. And
I'm not protesting.
No, I'm not saying that you would do that. You're not calling. You have never said it was anti-Semitic, but I wonder if people would do that, like just because it's Nazis on the moon, whatever, like, are people going to be able to have the black person there was really ridiculous and kind of offensive if you don't have a sense of humor.
By the way,
I got over that.
Look, there are moments. For example, if you're comfortable, the black man referring to himself as a moon spook. Now that right there, I was like, wait a second. But remember, you got to look at where this is coming from. They made fun of everybody. They just were ridiculous across the board. So if that by itself, I might have said, you know, you may have wanted to call somebody in the U.S. before you try to pull a line like that. But still they managed to walk a line and still keep it entertaining. So I let it go. I'm letting it go. But
So I wonder how, like, Jewish people would feel about this and if any of them would just hate it and like, would I get in trouble for thinking it was...
But here's the crazy thing. I mean, you talk about Jewish folks. I don't think there was really one single Jewish crack in the entire...
Well, it wasn't, but Like, does it look, are they sick of Nazis by now? And he's like, well, screw you. You thought it was a funny movie.
They're like outwardly offensive to everybody else. You know, like everybody else was having issues in this film. Yeah. So I don't know. I think you can get, you know, kind of particular about the film because it is kind of all over the place. And Steph nailed it exactly where, you know, some of the humor and the feel of it just felt kind of out of the wrong time. I completely agree with you on that, and I can see that. But you know,
but what about like Sky Captain? It doesn't feel like they were trying to do a Sky Captain.
Only in the look of it, not in the feel or the emotion. You know, because
they were using old style stuff, but they wanted to keep it in a certain era.
They were going for absurd, and the thing is, I've seen better absurd movies. That's all.
Okay.
I'm not offended by all the stuff in the movie. I'm offended by just the nihilistic approach. Like, there were elements that were really funny, but they were outweighed by like, nihilism, and it was just like, I don't know, I just got bored of it. I think that other people could have done this movie better. I really like the concept of the movie. I liked bits and pieces of this movie where I actually laughed out loud. I thought it was funny. But especially the de-albinizer and the albinizing, I thought that was pretty funny. Until I saw the dude, and he's walking out to this group of people in New York.
Because he had just stepped out of the microbus, and he was approaching his boys in the hood, going, hey, I'm one of you guys, what's happening? Yes, that was beautiful.
That was embarrassing. So ridiculous. Yeah. So ridiculous.
It was funny, but also creepy, like that. I'm going to have nightmares of that because it reminded me too much of White Girls, which also freaked me out.
I've never seen that, so I'm not going to. It doesn't have like spaceships in it, so I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
I wish I had a like time machine to go back and unsee it, but oh well. Anyway, I just thought I thought it could have been better. I think Americans probably would have handled this movie better. That's all.
Ooh, burn.
I mean, I can say it, but it's like...
You hate everyone? We're an international show, girl.
Here's the thing. It was like... Okay, here's my another funky analogy. It's like going to England or going to Finland and you're stepping into, like, a McDonald's or you're stepping into worse... What's worse? You're stepping into, like, a 50s diner-themed establishment in Europe. And so it's like somebody's idea of what it was like in America at that time. And so it's like somebody's nostalgic idea of somebody's nostalgic idea. And I think an American film probably would have done it better. That's all.
Yeah, but you see the crazy nuttiness of this. So I mean, when you the dig they take on politics, the dig they take on, you know, again, America's perceived dominance on the planet and all that. You couldn't have gotten away with it. Americans couldn't have done that, though. I mean, the aspects
Please,
of some
Please, what
of
are
that,
you talking about? They do it, like, on the newsroom.
They do it all the time without any irony. Like, without any sense of irony. They do it all the time in, like, shoot 'em up action movies. I don't know. I think a Jewish person actually would have been really funny doing this show.
So would you? Because like then it makes me think of the Inglourious Basterds, where that was funny and
yeah, I loved that movie.
That was good.
I thought it was way better than I thought, but it was a little serious. It wasn't a comedy though.
So no, I really liked that movie. I think it was well done and
yeah,
I liked the special effects in this movie. I hated the Nazi lady with the sexy boobs. I didn't like her.
I loved her. She was so serious.
I like the Nazi boobs.
Her voice was so obnoxious.
Her voice made me want to kill myself.
Hello, Washington James Washington.
No.
Hey, Fira.
It was really funny when they went to see the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Yes.
That was really funny. So I wish I had seen their version of this movie, like the moon Nazis cutting it out to only the good parts. If the Moon Nazis had come back and edited this movie, I would probably love it.
Oh, come on. I thought for an indie film, it was way better because I thought it was going to be like some cheap thing that you see on the internet that's like really low budget, and they have like paper sacks and duct tape with like a roll of nickels, and then that's it, and bubble gum. And then I thought it was going to be horrible, but it looked like an actual movie. Like, I'm not sure how it would do in theaters, but it's coming to theaters. But I think, you know, it looks like somebody had a lot of fun making this. They look like they really, you know, wanted to make fun of however it was. And they're kind of proud of it. I mean, they keep tooting their own horn. They're, you know, getting the little sales up there. So, I mean, it may offend some people, but it looked like they worked hard on it and they should kind of be proud of it. So,
I think the special effects are great, but I might actually like this movie a little more if it had crappy special effects, because then it would have been a little kitschy. I don't know. It just was a almost success for me, but it didn't succeed. Sorry.
Wow.
Brutal.
I know, right?
It's an Australian, Finnish, German film, but it would have been better if Americans had done it. Hate, I told you. Hate. Let them have it, girl. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I felt like I needed to commit this movie to like medical attention at the end, because it was like, what the hell? Crazy zany in a bad, unhealthy way at the end.
But like I said, no, European sci-fi ends without good closure often. Oftentimes there's a lot of what the at the end, so you just have to come to expect that.
If Stephanie hadn't told me that happened at the end, I wouldn't have never realized that they nuked the whole planet at the end.
What?
Of the movie. Yeah. I didn't realize. I just thought it was like some weird fade back from the moon, and then I just kind of, the movie was done, and I looked away, and I didn't care.
It was very strange love. That's exactly what was going on there, where, you know, all the countries, because they lost the helium-3, started fighting. And then, yeah, global destruction.
Yeah, after that, it was like, I didn't pay attention to that.
It just doesn't work, though, because they had that, like, storybook kiss at the end, and then
that's when I quit paying attention. So I was done. I was like, oh, I got my happy ending, I'm done. And the credits were rolling for me. I didn't stay for the shawarma.
Ooh, he became super hot at the end in that last scene.
Oh, black guy?
What his name was.
Okay. Washington.
Washington. James Washington.
Yeah, but I've never seen that guy before in my life, and apparently he's been in, like, Matrix 3 and Star Wars Episode 3.
Is he American, or is he German, or Finnish, or?
It doesn't say on his IMDb page, but I'm looking him up.
Yeah, because I wonder. I mean, maybe that's kind of why he was 30 years out of date.
Yeah,
well, because what's your face?
He was Herbert Magic Williams on Quantum Leap in the
90s. Wow, Herbert Magic Williams? That sounds about right. Yeah, that's about 1978. Right,
so,
there.
Like, the dominatrix lady, she's Australian, but she had that, like, I'm an American accent. Like, it was horrible. God.
Just foreign. I was like, I heard something's weird with her accent. I don't know.
Hey, check it out. The black guy was on Space Above and Beyond. He was on that.
He's Australian.
Oh, yes.
There it is.
There you go.
That's always the reason, man, why I have problems. I never can put my finger on it until Cap points it out.
Australian. Good day, mate.
We need some good American heroes. All our superheroes are British.
Let the world do what they, you know, everybody can't be an American hero. We can have some heroes from all over the world. Come on.
Star Wars episode 3.
Space Nazis. How can you go wrong with that?
Wow. Yeah. Movie shows you how.
Well, I hope people could maybe see the humor in it, but if they're, have seen as many funny movies as our girl Nini, then it might not just reach that note. So,
I'm sorry, I really wanted to like it,
I
but
know you don't have to like it on our account. No apologies. I have a weird sense of humor, and I like things that people don't like. I mean, I watched
well.
Final Conflict all 5 seasons, and
Oh, dear God. Dear God.
I like terrible ending movies too, like where everybody dies. I love those,
Yeah,
but this
Apollo
didn't.
18, for instance, yes.
Yeah, man, it was totally great, but no.
Moon crab. She's okay with
She
moon
also
crab.
likes horrible movies like Monster Go-Go.
Oh, jeez.
She, Stephanie, made me watch a film. She was getting me back from Birdemic. Remember that episode, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah. So she's been upset with me ever since, and she's just been just digging her nails in my neck here. And she made me watch a Monster a Go Go, and that was a very, very bad.
The age of innocence is over.
That was Carl.
Yeah.
Carl, why didn't you watch that movie?
Why didn't I watch that movie? I saw the preview. That's why I didn't watch it. Look, between Birdemic, Apollo 18, and Monster or Go-Go, much like the end of Iron Sky, I'm hanging out on the moon and I'm just watching you two destroy the Earth with your recommendations. And I'm just going to chill out here with my helium-3 until it all dies down and then I'm coming back.
Until you've seen Birdemic, because I need for you to analyze that.
Oh, no. I am not analyzing that. No.
Have to analyze that because it's like a science project that you have to analyze because you can't figure out.
It's just so confusing.
Yeah, but and then Monster of Go-Go, like Stephanie, you pointed out, because I didn't realize it because I wasn't, paying that much attention, that in the middle of the film, they switch all of the actors.
It was like soap opera style where they just replace the actor but they keep the name, and it happened seamlessly in the movie and there was no explanation. Oh man, that movie
In a
had.
movie, and there was no reason for the narrator, and then it tried to have a Twilight Zone ending, but it didn't work out.
Well, in between, it's like you get splices of some other random movie where that's all 60s a go-go. Like, that's never explained why there's a dance club and people dancing to go-go pop music, and you're just like, what? Is this the same movie? And then it cuts back to the most boring story ever. It's so boring. And when it's not boring, it's just confusing, but then you get bored of being confused.
And then there was like some sort of safety movie in the middle of it where we had to watch firemen put on hazmat suits. And I didn't understand why we had to watch them put on hazmat suits. And we had to watch the whole thing. It's like watching a person real time put on a hazmat suit in the 50s. And they just thought it was a big deal or something. And then they had like Frankie and Kowalski over in the corner, like telling stories about their family while they're watching the guys over there putting on suits. And it was, I didn't, why?
I'm a scientist. How dare you question me?
Now, to be fair, I have used that line, so I just.
You're smart. These people didn't.
They were terrible. They're like, no, I have no idea. We never did that test. But science.
And then he said, "Does that aluminum explain the aluminum something or another?" He used that as a technical term, something or another. And I was
argument.
like, "What is it? Why is this happening?"
Destroyed lab, and the narrator said, and the monster destroyed the lab. for some action, and they cut it. They just denied it for me. It was so sad.
Oh, I like when the announcer was like, there's Timmy. He's totally mangled." And he was like this dead guy under a sheet, and they pull the sheet back. They pull the sheet back of the totally mangled guy, and his face just looked regular, like he was sleeping with no cuts on his face or anything. And I was like, or is it on the other side of the face that we can't see? Or what's going on? Because he's supposed to be terribly mangled.
They were all playing a game of imagination where totally normal looking, but they all were playing along like, "Oh my God, that's horrific."
It's funny you say that because the monster didn't even exist at the end of the movie.
Oh, I know, right? And then...
And the narrator was like, "We don't know where the monster went.
No.
We don't know if this ever happened."
No.
What did he say?
That's not exactly what happened. What happened is they thought that the lost astronaut was the monster, but instead it was some other random monster that was coming to kill things because they found his body or something at the end.
Oh, really? That's what they said?
Wow.
Yes, that's what happened. They're like, "Hey, it wasn't the guy we thought it was. So there's some random monster going around."
But then the monster disappeared, so they don't really know. Oh, so the monster went instead of go.
Oh my God. I love that other guy. Before they switch actors on us, the detective... like... 10 minutes of looking through the field, and finally he gets killed by the monster.
Oh,
like,
my God, this guy could have planted a whole cornfield.
And the narrator's like, "Too bad for Jimmy. I mean, what a horrible day Jimmy's gonna have."
It was exactly like that. And I could not understand what the narrator was doing.
I know. The narrator's like, "Total spoilers, but Jimmy's gonna die." It's for Jimmy to die.
It is listed on Wikipedia as one of the worst movies ever. And it's I understand why.
It is so boring. It's like, I want my time back.
And this was your suggestion.
I know.
To see her, she was texting me while she was watching it, so I had to live through the movie twice. But it was so hilarious hearing her responses. Like, "What's happening? What's going on?" But yeah, if you want to torture yourself and you don't have anything else to do, watch Monster Go Go.
Okay, so Birdemic is funny. Ooh. Monster A Go Go is like, why is this happening to my eyes?
That's a real talk, ma'am.
Science.
Science. Something or another.
Something or other.
Oh man, that was so bad. It was so incredibly bad. And then didn't we watch the MST3K version? And they were bored. They were bored. They were like singing and talking and stuff like that during the movie, and it was terrible.
And it was boring even with that like little level of entertainment. It was boring. I saw it without them, and I saw it with them. And I gotta say, it wasn't much better.
Wow. When the MST3K crew can't save it, that's not good.
I saw Stephanie, there's a Birdemic MST3, well, Riff Tracks, and it's pretty funny.
I have to watch that. See, I can't wait for the 3D, Birdemic 2 3D.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's coming, Carl. That's why you got to watch the first one.
Oh, no. No.
And guess what, Carl? I'm so awesome that the star of Birdemic is following me on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is it because you're the only fan? Is that
Because she knows the song. We're just hanging out with the family.
Having ourselves a party. Talking about music from the 30s, black people from the 30s. That's that guy. Wow, terrible.
Oh, God.
But
you have to watch. I'm sorry, Carl. You have to watch Birdemic and Monster a Go Go. Well, no, don't watch
Monster a Go Go. You have to watch him. You have to. He has to.
I hate you too. I just want you to know. That's it.
I not only watched Iron Sky but liked it. You
yes.
Have,
that's you because have, I knew there was a nougat of creamy goodness in deep inside of Iron Sky. Are you telling me?
I watched Bar Karma.
Are you going to tell me live on recording that there is a nougat of goodness in Monster a Go Go?
If you play imagination.
No, see, look. I tried to expand your horizons. You know, I like all of it, but I know there's some quality deep in there. It's like I have faith. The force is with it, with the things that I recommend. Crazy they may be, but it's still. I don't think that. Are you telling me that? How about Birdemic? Is there an element?
Oh, that's amazing. That is hilarious.
Is there something in this?
That is freaking hilarious.
What we want you to see, because you say you like independent films. Boom, Birdemic.
No, good try. Good try. The boom almost got me. I admit, the boom almost got me. But no, I'm not calling that. No, you ladies use your womanly wiles to convince me. Alas, no. I like yelling science too. That's true, but still, no, you haven't sold me.
Like, do you like anthropology or maybe psychology or ophthalmology? No, I'm sorry.
Do you love the environment? Because if you do, Birdemic is the movie for you.
It's a very green movie.
Special effects from the 90s, then you will love Birdemic.
I'm thinking that's from the 70s, maybe.
Never, it was animated GIFs.
You
so.
need to stop. There's just no way.
I
would
for you,
love
Carl.
To hear your review of Birdemic.
Yes.
And Monster Go-Go. So like one of those times when you're like, I'm going to watch the Sci-Fi Channel because you know you do that. Just pop in Birdemic. Don't watch.
So good.
Yeah. Speaking of the Sci-Fi Channel, there was a short, what is it? Like miniseries called Mercury Men that Carl told me about.
That started online. So it was an online series, and then Sci-Fi Channel said, we don't have anything actually on now. Why don't we just stick it on? And so they put it on the Sci-Fi Channel, which was really awesome. I enjoyed it. But I watched it from the web series first.
Okay. And so they're like maybe 10 8-minute episodes, and they are kind of like Iron Sky. And
they're not like Iron Sky.
Count me out.
It's not like Iron Sky. It's more like old Outer Limits is what it's like. The look and the feel of it, the music, and it's in black and white. So the whole feel of it feels more like old Outer Limits kind of thing. What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people? If you watch it, you'll see what I mean. It's just like old school Outer Limits. Even the music is the same.
I'm laughing at Steffi. No, I watched
Steffi hasn't even seen it yet. She's just been hate. I warned you all. I told you. She hasn't even seen it. She's in the background and sound effects. Trust me. She's all cranky. Cranky.
I watched.
You know why she's cranky? She got moon crabs. It's the moon crabs. That's fine.
Whatever. I have bar karma. That's what I have.
Burn.
Yeah, gonna get rid of it with science.
Science. So Carl suggested this to me, and I watched the first 4 episodes of it, and I have to say it was very black and white Twilight Zone. They had very great camera angles. They had lighting, shadows. They played with all that stuff. It was very, very old school. And I like that. We had a main guy. He was kind of like half Amelia Earhart, half Han Solo, steampunk. We had some men from Mercury, and I'm not going to spoil anything else, but I thought it was you can kind of tell it's low budget, but what they do with it. The score is nice. Like I said, the camera angles, the
way it's pretty. It is a pretty, pretty film.
It's like, wow, I appreciate that. We haven't seen anybody take that type of care with an independent project like that in a while. And so it's kind of precious, and it has a lot of, I don't know what it has a lot of, but I liked it.
I'm going to go back again, and I'm going to say the things that I loved about old Outer Limits, and yes, some of the Twilight Zone too, you know, that kind of, I'm not going to say it's a campy edge. It was sort of like an innocent faith in science, you know, the whole Rocket Ranger feel of, you know, like the Rocketeer and that kind of thing. All of that stuff, the retro tech from that era, just redone with the modern effects that we have now. Even though it still had like ray guns and stuff in it, so it was really, really pretty how they made it. So the story is interesting. It'll hold your attention. It is it's barely an hour, so you know.
But if you catch it all in one chunk, it's barely an hour. But then if you catch it,
It's like a serial. It's like an old radio show serial where, you know, they have one and then the episode ends on a cliffhanger and then they pick it up in the next episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And that ends with a cliffhanger. So all of this, they're bringing back a lot of the nostalgia of either radio, you know, radio sci-fi or old school Outer Limits Twilight Zone kind of feel.
So here's my question.
We're not requiring you to watch it.
Here's my question. The reason why I like the Twilight Zone, black and white Twilight Zone, so much is it's more like they were writing a screenplay not for television but for the stage. So they weren't worried so much about special effects, and they weren't worried so much about what, you know, rubber suits and stuff like that. They focused on the story, and the stories were amazing, and that's what makes the Twilight Zone stand out today, because the stories are they're so iconic. So does this try for that, or is it really just nostalgia for nostalgia's sake? Because that's kind of how I felt about Iron Sky. Like, they were just kind of doing black and white because they could, or, like, retro because they could.
Yeah, okay. I'll say this, because there is a difference between Outer Limits and Twilight Zone, okay? So, first of all, I mean, just in terms of the feel and in terms of what the stories were about and that kind of thing, you know, Twilight Zone was a little bit of everything. It was mystical. It was paranormal. It was ironic. It had all of that kind of stuff in it. And so, yes, you're right. The writing for that really was more, you know, stage and theatrical and big ideas. Outer Limits was narrower. Outer Limits was about technology and science and that kind of. So, first of all, you know, you're not going to have, you know, Confederate soldiers strolling through a scene from Outer Limits. That's, you know, that's not. Yeah, you know, there's a big difference in terms of feel of what it was, but in terms of bringing back the era that both of those come from, you know, it is strongly nostalgic, and if you liked the look and the feel of that, you're going to like this. The story is okay. It's okay. It's interesting, but it is a bit nostalgic in terms of, you know, the arc of the story and what's going on. Yeah, it feels like something you've seen before. But what's interesting is, you know, that on a limited budget, they were able to bring back the feel of that so strongly with it. So, you know, I'll give you that. Yeah, they may be doing a little nostalgia for nostalgia's sake, but they could do more of these. They could carry it a little further, and it wouldn't be bad. So
I think I'm for that.
Well, I think too, the story itself is interesting and it's different, because, like, I've never had a story told to me centered around Mercury. So yeah. I thought that was interesting, and I thought I am going to spoil just a little bit that, well, no, I won't. But some of the sound that they use with the characters, the sound when we're going to say aliens comes on the scene, that you can tell that they were paying attention to what they were doing, and they were really going with the effect, because there was a static every time they was there. So I really appreciated how they handled everything. So I mean, some of the acting there is a little like, you know, it's not the best, but I think they do a good job for what they have. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I like, give it a shot. It's free. Go online. You can see it. It's good
is
stuff.
Is it more Outer Limits than Twilight Zone? Because I always thought Outer Limits was like Twilight Zone's like ugly sister.
Like I told you, there is a difference.
Outer Limits
between
is my favorite television.
Well, hang on. Listen, there's and see, Kat, I mean, the reason why is it's verifying the point I'm making here. Outer Limits is about science and technology and, you know, faith in the future and all of that kind of stuff. That it's a very narrow kind of genre of what you saw. The Twilight Zone was everything. They went to space. They went back in time. They had, you know,
on an airplane with like monster on the way.
How many, you know, treks back to Appalachia we going to do? You know, I mean, so it's a little bit of everything in Twilight Zone. And if you appreciate that breadth, and it really is for you, you know, about, oh man, you know, oh, these characters are in a box. How are they going to get out? If that's what you're looking for, that's not Outer Limits. You know, that's what the difference is. However, the feel of these shows is similar when you look back on them 30, 40 years later, and you're looking at it, and you can see, you know, there's an era, the way that people are dressed and the way that, you know, they're talking and all of that, it starts to feel the same. So there's a look and feel that's similar to them, but the stories and what they're about is very, very different. So that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. This is a story about technology and, you know, it's engineers and that kind of stuff. It feels like Outer Limits. It's much more like Outer Limits than Twilight Zone, but it does bring back that era in sci-fi very strongly. So there you go.
I like science and something or other.
There you go.
I like science.
I like science. You made it sound like I totally love just only the shows that
all of. I mean, when you talked about what it was that you liked about the
cat. What the hell?
I mean, look. Though all of. Oh, I'm gone. That lady's just answering.
Reese, I'm sorry. I can't believe you. I thought we were friends.
She gets delirious, and it amuses me so much.
I can't even see right now. Thanks a lot. Crying.
All of things.
I'm sorry. You laugh so much.
Twilight Zone.
I love that woman.
Talk about Twilight Zone. At any point did you say, you know, aliens or spaceships or technology, old computer? You didn't say anything about it. What you said is that you liked the development of the story, the character development. You liked that it was theatrical in terms of how it was written. That's not the same thing that you expect. When you're watching The Outer Limits, the stories are deep, but it's a very narrow genre that is hardcore, you know, for the era, techie.
There are lots of iconic science fiction stories that stand the test of time because the breadth of them is really it's but yeah, whatever the setting is, fine. It's really the strength of the story itself. So that's all I was wondering.
Right.
It's the strength of the story. It's like the strength of the themes. It's the strength of the characters.
What if it is possible to have a strong story and it not be science fiction? There is an element that you have to.
I don't think so, but whatever.
Whatever, woman.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but science fiction does it best because it's you have way more capability of being creative. And exploring something to the outer limits.
Ooh,
the inner mind to the outer limits. Please stand by. I see what you did. Science. All right. So yeah, I think I'll give this show a try. Where were you though? I think it's a little bit of not enough give and take, though, because where were you when we wanted to watch Andromeda Strain?
today he couldn't find his VHS tape.
I was late, but I joined you. I tweeted right along with you.
You did not.
What? He
was like, way to go, ladies. You're doing great. That's like,
oh my,
you all so funny.
All I'm going to say is check the Twitters. The Twitters don't lie. You will see my comments. I was in there. I was a little late, but I joined in with the insanity. I was there. I'm telling you, I was there.
You were like, way to go, ladies.
Only what you paid attention to. I'm telling you. I my Twitter. I swear I was there.
It's like, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
I have over a lot of tweets.
Yeah, those are
I don't look
I
at mine.
I wish those, though. They were funny. Cat was
doing yeah, we were doing that. Oh, no, you had me laughing.
That was
yeah, we live tweeted the Andromeda Strain. Stephanie and I synced up Netflix, and we pressed play, and so we watched and tweeted our thoughts. And we was kind of MST3King the movie on Twitter, basically.
It was like surreal stream of consciousness version.
joined in. Carl, yes, he was there. But and a lot of people joined in and they were amused by what we were doing. And I was like, oh, I remember that movie. And somebody said that they killed the monkey in the movie for real. And I didn't know that. And I don't know if it was true or not.
Didn't really kill the monkey. I had nightmares.
He shivered and shook his leg one time and then he like killed over. And I thought like, wow, that dude deserved an award. Cause that's
real. For real.
You know what they did? Do you know what they did to that monkey? It's still very cruel. But what they did was they cut off the oxygen to that monkey and like pumped in CO2 and the monkey like just passed out and like had seizures and whatever. And then immediately like they cut away and then somebody from the ASPCA or whatever like revived him.
That is terrible.
I know, right?
That.
Oh, they did that to the mice too, which made me a little happier because that stuff looked real. And then you find out that, well, they practically killed him.
He had a limp from then on, but the monkey was fine other than that.
The monkey never trusted humans again.
Oh my god, but Andromeda Strain.
And that monkey's name was Cornelius.
Rod Potter. It was my first time ever seeing the film, and so it was from the, what, 70s, Stephanie?
I think so. Yeah. I really like that movie.
Well, you and Carl saw it closer to the day it was released, or closer to the time it was released. Not today, okay. The time. Y'all be back in the day.
Oh my god.
Yes, I put the foil on my television antenna so I could see it better.
You did not. I wasn't
the most elegant
when it came out.
I could only get it on the UHF back then, see.
Okay, I'm sorry. I meant you've seen it prior to this year.
Seen it prior to, yes, that is an accurate statement, unlike your other one.
But when did you first see it? In the 80s, maybe?
When I first saw that, I saw that in, like, the early 90s.
Okay. Yeah, same for me.
Okay. Sorry. Jeez. They've seen it before, but me with 2012 eyes, yes, I felt like I've seen it before, but I'm pretty sure everything ripped that off.
Exactly. Yeah. It was your Contagion. It was all those other ones that kind of strongly barred. Heck, even Resident Evil stole some stuff from that.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was good. I love the sets. The sets were so grand. The colors, like they, you know, used in the 70s and back in the day. I love the colors. I love the cranky old stocky scientist lady. She was smoking cigarettes.
Oh, I loved her too.
Yeah, he was just hilarious.
One of my favorite tweets, and I was reading along and watching it. She did look like William Shatner now. That I was crying when you said that. I mean, I was expecting, you know, price line negotiator to pop out at any point. She really does. Like, that's sad. That is sad. You go back and watch. Even had the little leisure suit. You can imagine Shatner rocking that same outfit. I would just. Oh,
yeah, she was not. I mean, she didn't have any makeup. She didn't even try, not even mascara, anything. Like,
oh, no, and she had those gnarly smoker's teeth. separated and brown.
Nasty. Her half naked, and I was just traumatized, really.
She had 70s teeth. Ugh.
There's 70s a teeth style of 70s?
Yeah, it's like Austin Powers teeth.
Yeah.
Like really bad teeth.
I like pretty teeth too. My teeth are awesome. But yeah, so I like that film. I really had a lot of fun tweeting it. But like some of the stuff, it was just it took a long time for it to get where it needed to go. And I didn't understand some of the things that they were doing. Like, why did we have to see a shirtless corpse with lady breasts, dead breasts?
That is the only time the geeks who saw that movie saw breasts. That's all.
She was dead and it was gross. Like,
well, yeah, it was gross, but so was... Oh, there were lots of cool, gross parts in that movie, though. Now I can't remember any, of course.
While you're thinking, I will say, movies from the 70s, especially sci-fi, were slow. All right, think about it now. I don't know, and I think it's because when you watch the evolution of sci-fi over time, it seems to speed up. It seems like the 70s, well, man, it was glacial stuff was happening. Because, I mean, think about it. Even Star Wars, 77, that's, you know, solid middle 1970s, right? You go back and watch Star Wars, which was blazingly fast. Man, first half of it, you're like, can we get on with it? You know, with modern eyes, you go back and watch it. Yeah, okay, so he's on a farmer's boy. What's happening in this film? You know, it's not until you really start, you know, getting aboard the Millennium Falcon and, you know, the boys start blowing mess up that the movie starts really taking off. And when it takes off, that was just radical.
I didn't find it even with modern eyes. I mean, I didn't see that until I was in my
Look at other films from the 70s. Look at some of the other stuff. Let me see, what else is... I mean, geez, first of all, any film from the 70s was slow compared to, you know, what we're
used to. What's the one with Hal?
Well, that was 68,
that
though.
Was 60. It was on the edge of the 70s, and that was really slow.
Well, agreed. I mean, but see, I'm saying it takes time. You know, the history of science fiction seems to get faster and faster as we go. However, see, we're looking for the sweet spot because sci-fi has got to be smart and it's got to take you places. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer to set stuff up than you'd expect. But at the same time, you don't want it so fast that it's just completely candy and nothing ends up happening in the film.
Transform.
I'm just, you know, that. But see, that's the paradox.
Hair's going to kill me.
You sacrifice the story when you go too fast.
Well, only with bad sci-fi. Only with bad. Because look, think about it. Matrix. Matrix is the best example.
Oh, God.
Really? Come on. You was not pumped up with Matrix when it first came out.
No, I'll tell you why. Blockbuster ruined it for me.
Not talking about all three. I'm simply...
No, the first one.
How does that happen? I don't understand.
I'll tell you how it happened.
Some
dude high on, like, marijuana brownies came up to me in Blockbuster and was like, dude, this is totally like Socrates' allegory of the cave.
Oh.
It's so deep. And I'm like, Plato's allegory of the cave? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just not impressed by you. And then, therefore, I was not impressed by the movie. I watched it to know, like, pop culture references. That's it.
Are you kidding me? You didn't like The Matrix?
I did not like The Matrix.
So somebody
painted
it for her.
Hate in this episode, people. What else? Do you not like the American flag? Are you going to say that next? You just slap me across the face now. I mean, come on. The Matrix? Really? Oh, my God.
I loved City of Lost Children. Now that was an awesome.
What is that?
That's a good one too. But it's that's still... I can't forgive this. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, The Matrix. That was pretty.
Spoon. Okay, fine. The spoon was okay.
Just the spoon was okay. No.
But the fact that everybody was like, they had terrible names. Ugh,
come on.
Neo.
Orpheus.
All right. Anyway, I don't even know what to say now. I got no frame of reference here. I don't know. I'm just heartbroken. That's it. I don't know what to say.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll give it another chance. Maybe it was just the blockbuster dude that.
But see, now that's gonna be forever.
How many times have you seen it?
Once.
Oh man. Hell no.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I turn to you and I say, what is going on here? Is a turd. I may just be a Southern minister / attorney, but I say this woman does not have a solid appreciation of the classic.
That's not a classic.
That's a classic, baby. It's a modern classic, Steph.
Terminator 2 is a classic. The Matrix.
Matrix is also a modern classic. It is a modern classic. Oh my God! When a movie comes out. And like for the next 6 years, every other movie is borrowing heavily from a classic story was based. I mean, geez, Socrates, Plato. If your sci-fi movie is pulling from Plato, right there you get bonus points. All right, that's working. That is good stuff.
That's like the most borrowed from Plato. Like, that's lazy. If you want to do Plato, do something awesome. Sorry.
If you sit there and you watch the director's cut of The Matrix and you do the alternate dialogue, you got two philosophers battling it out. Cornel West, like Daniel Dennett, and just going, man, this movie's deep. I'm like, yes, that is what I'm talking about. The movie's awesome. Modern classic. This is, oh, God, jeez.
thing is, Nini likes horror. She likes people to get slashed up.
That's all right.
But she wants people to die.
Science.
She wants people to die. Science.
But you sit with a Y, it just sounds crazy.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know. What can we do?
I've fallen into the rabbit hole.
Nice. I think there were some good Mercury Men. I think I'm going to watch all of it, probably not tonight, since Carl just told me about it yesterday and expect me to watch the whole thing.
It's an hour long. You've had to
It's 10, 7, 9, 8 minute episodes.
That doesn't mean you have to go out to the bathroom in between. Just watch them back to back. 6 minutes each.
They are more like 7 to 8 minutes each. More like 9.
Oh my God.
Are you going to watch The Booth at the End?
Stephanie has required that we watch The Booth at the End. It has Xander Berkeley from 24 and other various TV shows and films. And what is it about?
I have no idea.
Oh man, you haven't even screened it. At least when I recommend something
about science. I'm gonna have to watch this Mercury Men thing. I figure it's only fair for you guys to watch The Booth at the End because Hulu keeps recommending it to me. I trust Hulu.
Wait, so what? You suggested something because Hulu suggested that I watch Cleopatra 2525. That doesn't mean I'm going to watch it.
You did watch it. You've already watched it.
Cleopatra 2525.
So Hulu was right. We've seen Cleopatra 2525.
We've seen one episode. I've been threatening to watch it.
Maybe
I should watch this.
Okay, well, fine. I'll watch The Booth at the End, but I think it looks pretty good. Oh my God, it looks pretty good. It looks right up your alley. It looks like it's almost good, but slightly not good. And that's just right up Carl's alley.
Look,
so...
I'm looking at it right now on IMDb. The actors are far too high caliber for this to be my kind of film. I'm sorry. Right now I'm seeing... If it's supposed to meet my level of camp, right away. These people are too well known. It just blows the curve right away.
No, you have to watch this movie or this show. If I have to watch Mercury People or whatever, you have to watch The Booth at the End. Maybe we'll live tweet it. That'd be fun.
That sounds painful.
I don't know.
Is
it an hour long?
That's so mean.
Let me ask you, is this a modern classic?
You're making me watch stuff and there's no reciprocity. That's all I have to say.
Well, is it at least science fiction? I'm curious. I can't tell because all I see is grizzly people in a cafe from the clip. This does not look right.
I like that you don't like attractive people in your...
No, it's not that they look grizzly. I mean, it's just like, is there a rocket?
It's like Bar Karma, but with a diner and a lot better in every way.
Have you seen it?
No.
All right.
I've seen Bar Karma, so I already know that it's better than Bar Karma without having even laid eyes on it.
Bar Karma had so much hope.
It did. It had potential. And it, like so many, you know, really good sci-fi, the first episodes were a little weak, but it was ramping to something. That's why I watched Bar Karma. I was giving it a shot because, you know, there were smart people behind it, and I wanted to see where it was going. Unfortunately, a lot like, you know, think about some of your favorite sci-fi series.
Enterprise.
Think about some of your good favorite sci-fi series.
Not my favorite at all.
If you canceled it like in six episodes, you never would have gotten a chance to see what it was about. And I really feel like that for Bar Karma, but that's all right. The Booth at the End, I'm sure, is just as good.
Okay, so have you guys heard of Pioneer One?
No.
It's a fan-supported sci-fi show. It's available for download from the website.
No,
it's
going to be like that thing that we shall not name that you made me watch.
Probably.
What thing did you not name?
That one thing that we shall not name.
Final Conflict. Those two actors, and he had a southern accent.
And,
I sent you the link, and I said it was homework, Carl.
Oh, right. I always do my homework. I don't.
You watched it.
What was it called?
It was about that android, and it was...
What was that called? Come on, you gotta tell people.
She understood string theory or something. The memories, they're coming back.
Come on, Kat, what was it called?
I don't know what it was called. I forgot. I literally forgot.
Stupid Robot
Lady
Chronicles.
Something like that, yeah.
Can't name it.
They were so sincere and nice because they was like, oh my God, we have
our- I did watch this. Yeah, I remember now. I remember. Yeah, okay, now it just needs a little money and time. That's got a little
potential. You're so positive.
And you gave me a hard time for The Booth at the End.
Look, you haven't even seen it yet. At least I've seen this. You can't comment. You can't unless you've seen the film. So yeah, okay. No, like I said, it did. It had a little potential. It did have. It was kind of. It was a little. What?
No.
What?
No.
What?
No.
I believe. I believe.
No.
Yep.
No.
It was one episode.
No.
Good. I see something.
No.
My Roommate the Cylon? Have you guys seen that?
The what now?
My Roommate the Cylon.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, see, that's another fan show.
And you watch that?
I actually have seen, I've only seen one episode, but I have seen that.
Oh, dear. Mm. What about the, are y'all excited about that Kickstarter campaign sci-fi movie, Space Command?
The who? What? The who? What?
Space Command. Y'all haven't heard of Space Command?
Well, that sounds so generic.
Well, yeah, but, like, it's big splash all over Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, and they, like, raised all this money to make this movie called Space Command, and it has a lot of interesting people in it. It, like, has actual people we know and love. Like, I can't pull it up. I'm gonna pull it up right now. Space.
Okay. Right now, I'm on the Kickstarter page. So, okay, so what is it about that's supposed to be really, really great? I mean, is it the people?
I donated money to it. I pledged money.
Okay, all right. I see the Kickstarter. They got some money. They more than met their goal. So what's up? Are we excited because it looks good? But I mean, what's the selling point?
I thought it was cool, and it was science fiction.
I thought it was cool. Okay.
Neil Gaiman.
Listen. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were doing a good thing, and I.
Okay, no, it's all right. I'm looking at it. The special effects have a retro sort of a retro slash video gamey feel about them. That's all right.
You know. Just evolved to like what horrible things we inflict on others.
Hang on for a second. What the heck is going on here? Oh, okay. So I clicked on the link. And the video cuts from clips, you know, from Space Command to Star Trek and Twilight Zone episodes. It was like right in the middle it jumped, but I'm good. I see what's happening now. All right. Yeah, they're talking about the influences. Okay, now why the Smurfs is one of the influences, I'm a little concerned, but it's all right. It's all right.
Because the Smurfs were happy.
Oh,
man. It's because they don't wear pants. Or no,
yeah.
It's because
yeah. No,
they
yeah.
do wear pants.
They do?
But they go into their shoes. Like, their pants are their shoes.
You're not on drugs, I promise.
You know, the freakiest thing about Smurfs is
really random, and I like that. So, I, you know, for those of you who are still listening, thank you.
Yeah. Wait. Okay, so I sent you a link.
Oh, who was?
Okay, it was my roommate, the Cylon, and it's on TV.com. Look in the show notes if you're interested in this. Wow. So are they sitting on a couch in every clip here?
It's pretty, I mean, it's definitely Carl worthy.
No, wait a minute. You gotta understand. I think your perception of what I think is worthy is a little bit skewed. We need a little realignment here, all right? I mean, so far, whatever you say is car worthy. So far, I've seen people sitting in front of a Venetian blind, and now some kids on a couch. And I'm really
not a nice skyline, isn't it?
Not sure.
If you look at related shows, there's that Pioneer One show that I was telling you about.
I see.
Oh, I couldn't read what that said.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Okay.
What is
Pioneer One?
Oh, it's Ion. Oh.
What? They're like. Studying cosmonauts or something and something
much like
it kind of like it felt like X-Files in the first episode, but they took like forever to release the second episode, and I hadn't caught up, so I think they have like at least 5 or 6 episodes by now, or more than that.
It looks like five.
Look, they have Babylon 5 and Caprica.
Are you looking at what the machine has recommended? Because from that list, Haven.
So when Kat
there.
Does it, it's okay.
Yeah, we can't look at that list.
Haven is in there. Please, you cannot use the related shows.
Long time.
But when Kat does it, it's okay.
What?
So I look up my roommate, the Cylon. She's like, "Oh, look, Pioneer One," and that's okay. But like referencing Caprica and Battlestar Galactica is not okay.
No, Haven isn't okay.
Haven is not okay, right?
Those are fine.
Haven is a. I don't even know what Haven is.
Don't worry about it. That's good that you don't.
No. Even I say no.
I can tell you it's not sci-fi though.
Wait, isn't that on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Please, have you been? I'm not even going to start.
Dude,
there is not as much sci-fi on Sci-Fi Channel.
Anything else, guys? Because we can wrap this one up.
It is
command.
This episode is ended very much like European science fiction. Mass destruction, loose ends, and people going, What?
This is like Control-Alt-Delete. Yeah. You're gonna restart it.
This has been the most random episode of Sci-Fi Party Online, and I love
discussed
it.
How Smurfs' pants are their shoes. Next time on Sci-Fi. Of course. It makes total sense in context.
That's true.
save us. We gotta get out of here.
Breathe. Oh, woo. Okay. I'm sorry. Science.
That's our show. Go to site, leave us a comment, sci-fi-partyline.com.
Might be the last one, really. You know, we don't know.
Please listen to us on, you know, other shows. I promise we're more linear and make more sense.
Because if you like the sci-fi party line, you'll also like Haven. So, you know, it'll be fine.
Wow. Send us a tweet at sci-fi party line. Send us a message on Facebook.com/sci-fi party line. We're on Google Plus. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Auf Wiedersehen.
Just like Skyline.
End of line.